Hello and welcome to episode 208 of the Enough Podcast. My name is Mike Hurley and I am joined, as always, by my friend, Mr. Patrick Roan.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am very well. How are you?
Oh, man. The past couple of weeks have just been sick city in the household here, and I'm just doing all I can to recover from it. And I'm still not completely recovered, but that's why we're going to try to do a somewhat short show today so that I don't have to stay out of the bathroom any longer than is necessary, which is more information that our listeners really need.
Yeah. Hear, yeah.
How about you, my friend? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
That's all I have to say.
Recovered from the whole WWDC yet? That whole flu that you got and the jet lag and all the other stuff?
Still a little sniffy.
Mm.
Sniffles, as they would say. Mm.
You know, I was thinking about you the other day because I was thinking this trip must have been a bit harder than previous trips to the U.S. because your normally strong pound sterling is not nearly as strong right now.
It's not as strong, but it's still strong.
It's still pretty strong, but it's just not as strong, right?
Yeah,
it's not like bring a second completely empty suitcase so you can fill it while you're here and back strong.
Well, this was never going to be a shopping holiday anyway. I bought one thing. I bought an iPod Touch. The money I saved on that alone, you know, paid for the rest of the souvenirs. You know,
$100 or something like that.
Because it's not even with items like that. It's not actually really the exchange rate, which is the benefit.
It's the VAT and the.
It's not even that. It's just the fact that Apple prices things pretty much the same number.
Yeah. So if it's, you know, $299 here, it's £299 there.
I'm going to see what the actual numbers are. I mean, you know, because they do change from time to time, and sometimes they end up doing what I consider to be the right thing. So the iPod Touch starts at, by now, so many buttons to click on Apple's website. So the iPod Touch starts, come on, there we go. It's a whole different product. It's got its own page. Starts at $229, which is how much I purchased it for whilst in San Francisco. And it is £199. So that's not a massive difference, is it? It's a 3-0 difference between the two.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically,
but still,
that's
3-0 times 1.53. You know what I mean?
Well,
in fact,
100 and, like, to give, let's see, like, so 229 in GBP today, it's £148. So it's a good saving. It's like a £50 saving.
Yeah, you know? that's damn good.
That's enough.
I take that. That is enough.
Because I didn't need it before anyway. I only bought it to put the beta on anyway.
Yeah. Oh, Bethany's cousins were just visiting from Norway, and let me tell you, if you want to see some strong currency, the Norwegian kroner. Oh my God, that's some strong currency.
Really?
Norway's an expensive place. Let me tell you how expensive Norway is, while we're at it. Because part of this episode, we're going to talk about money and enough and kind of, you know, how these things come into play and reasons for doing certain things. And, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, so the Norwegian kroner in comparison with the U.S. dollar is unbelievable to begin with. And then when you add to that the fact that things in Norway are just plain expensive anyway, it can be a real killer. All right. When I when we visited Norway, this was 2 years ago now. And so granted, it was a time, I think, when the kroner was at its strongest and the dollar was almost at its weakest. And actually, no, it was longer than that now. Gosh, how old is Beatrix?
I don't know.
No, this was 5 years ago now. All right. So while I'm talking, you're going to do the Google Translate for kroner to dollar right now for me, please.
Okay.
Or vice versa. It doesn't matter which direction. And so we get over there. And our first night, you know, we're looking around to find a place to eat. And we go to this little bar that Bethany's cousin had recommended to us at one point. We find it and we go in. It's me, my two sons, and my wife. My daughter was, you know, too young for solid food at the time. And the three of us, Max and Miles and I, order fish and chips. Bethany orders a cheese tortilla. Or quesadilla. Cheese quesadilla. So cheese on a tortilla, basically. The three of them order Cokes. I order water. That meal came to almost $100 U.S. No, over $100 U.S. Slightly over $100 U.S.
I think there is an issue in me trying to tell you how strong it is, because I believe that the krona is one of those currencies in which the value amount is high. Like the because, for example, one krona is 16 cents, which doesn't corroborate with what you're trying to say.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
But it's one of those currencies where something that would be $10 is like 100 krona.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
So
right.
Using a unit-to-unit conversion doesn't really make sense, because one krona is like the equivalent of like 25 cents. Like, you know, like you would be like, one krona wouldn't buy you a soda. You'd need like four or five krona, you know, to buy you a soda. So when you look, it's difficult to compare those currencies.
Yeah, give me a second here. I'm going to see what I can do. Yeah, so $100 US is 612.4 Norwegian kroners currently. Back in 2009, at its high point, it was much higher than that. It is not letting me. Yes. Yeah. I wish it would just let me click there and go back. In any case, I digress. This bottom line, a meal for four was $100 at like a bar, like a pub, like, you know, someplace where in the U.S. a meal for four would be about maybe $50 at its maximum, right, at the high point. When I gave my oldest son, Max, and Miles, I gave him some kind of walking around money, and they were like, oh, well, you know, thanks. I said, well, don't expect to buy much. I said, do you see that sign over there? You know, by the convenience store, you know, for like the special deal they have for the hot dog and the soda. And they're like, yeah. I'm just like, okay, well, let's do some conversion here. You know, see the price on that? Okay, now let's do the conversion. That hot dog and soda is a little bit over $20. They just about flipped, right? it was insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
We spent so much money there.
See, that highlights what we're trying to say, because like that, it might have cost like 4,000 krona. So right, where like one krona is 16 cents, when you start multiplying that,
Yeah, it's that's not, a very fast.
It's not that the currency is strong, it's that the economy is strong.
Right.
And there's your difference.
Right, yeah. And yeah, the economy is very, very, very strong. And part of that, and part of the reason why they haven't gotten as hit as hard as the rest of Europe, is because of the they got this massive like oil fund, which basically, you know, buffers them against the sorts of, you know, the sorts of things that the euro and even the pound are not buffered against. Basically, this oil trust props up their economy, props up their currency, and helps it weather economic storms like this. It affects the trust, but not the currency or the economy.
Sure,
if that makes sense. In any case, I digress. the bottom line is that it can be oftentimes very beneficial for those in Europe coming here. It is not unusual, especially those coming from places that are not on the euro. And thank your Prime Minister and Queen for that.
Rule Britannia.
Yeah. Probably one of the, everyone at the time was like, oh, this was so stupid, and they're just being so protectionist, and they don't even want to be part of this whole thing. And I'm like, no, we're just trying to save our butts because we see where this is going to go in 20 years, and I don't blame them.
The UK has a totally different economy to the rest of Europe. It always has done, and it always will.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not built like the rest of Europe in the way that we are more like America than we are Europe. But that is
what a frightening statement to come from a Brit.
I'm happy with that. I mean, that might be my personal opinion on these such matters, but that's the way that I see things.
You're an Amerophile and I'm an Anglophile. All right. So
shall we talk about our sponsor quickly, and then we will jump into the main discussion for today. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, why not?
So I want to take a quick moment to thank our fine sponsor, that is Squarespace.com. Squarespace, who give you absolutely everything that you need to make an amazing website. Squarespace is a fully hosted, completely managed environment for creating and maintaining a beautiful website, blog, or portfolio. Squarespace has some amazing tools. It doesn't matter how experienced you are building websites, you can put something online that is amazing in just minutes. You don't have to worry about hosting, scaling, or even integrating with social services, because Squarespace takes care of it all. They have excellent features, they have beautiful themes, very clean. They let your content do all of the talking, and they have responsive web design built in. They have a drag and drop platform that makes it really easy and fun to lay out your pages, and it's really, really simple to use. They have great structure, perfectly clean code, which is really, you know, it's the sort of stuff that you don't want to have to worry about, you know, thinking about SEO and stuff like that. Well, Squarespace takes care of all of that, you know, so your site's going to rank well in Google. You don't have to worry about these things because Squarespace takes care of it. And that's it, right? Squarespace, they give you everything. You don't have to worry about any of the little things. You don't have to worry about finding analytics or a third-party application because they give you those. They have that all built in. They have iOS and Android apps. They have statistics built right in. If you want to sell something, they have Squarespace Commerce. It's built right in. If you need to import your blog from somewhere else, it's built right in. Everything is, and that's why I love them. It's a one-stop shop to put your next project on the internet. Go to squarespace.com, sign up for a free trial, no credit card required. Squarespace plans start at $10 a month for their standard plan, $20 a month for their limited plan. Sign up for a year, you'll get 20% off. Sign up for two, you get 25% off. And use the code 70decibels6, and you'll get an additional 10% off your first order. So go check out Squarespace, everything that you need to make an amazing website.
Yay. Yes, go now. So, speaking of, you know, money and savings and, you know, stuff like that. I got an iPhone 5 last night. Finally. A little behind the curve and just a couple of months before the 5S comes out.
Yeah, it's weird that you've done that, but carry on.
It's not weird at all. I mean, I just let other people test this technology for a couple of years and work out all the kinks before I bought into it. It's great.
So what did you upgrade from?
An iPhone 4.
So you must be feeling the speed, right?
Oh, yes. It's definitely quicker. Fast.
So why did you
really
upgrade?
I haven't been out of the house to really try it on the 4G network yet, though.
Okay. Why did you upgrade?
Well, because it was free.
Why was it free?
It was free because Best Buy, a local Minnesota company, I might add, is currently running a promotion as are a lot of big box retailers here in the States, obviously trying to clear out inventory of iPhone 5s.
Yeah, so does that not tell you something?
Yeah, in preparation for the iPhone 5S to come along. They're running a promotion where they will take your iPhone 4 or 4S on trade-in if your upgrade available, give you $150 credit for that, and have knocked $50 off the price of the iPhone 5, thus making the iPhone 5 with contract renewal and trade-in free. You do have to pay the taxes and fees, which for us amounted to about $26, but that's, you know, state and local tax, and so your mileage will vary if you are not in Minnesota. And yeah, so my wife was on a 4S. I was on a 4. We both were upgrade eligible. And neither of us needed more than the 16 gig iPhone 5. Although I will state that they literally give you, you know, they handle the trade-in first, and they give you a gift card for the trade-in for the 150. They then, you know, immediately take back that gift card and, you know, scan it and do that. But because they do it that way, what he explained is we could upgrade to a 32 gig or a 64 gig if we wanted to pay the difference. We still would get would still get that $150 off of whatever model that we chose. But being that we didn't need anything more, neither one of us, than the base 16 gig, it was a no-brainer because it was free. And quite frankly, I've been using a 4 all this time. I could have upgraded a year ago when the 5 came out and chose not to, because the 4 at that time was enough for me. The 4 would have remained enough for me. But if this comes along and it's free, I'm almost stupid not to take it.
So enough only works until it's free.
Well, no, I would say that that would have been fine. And even still, this was a difficult decision for me because, like I've said before, I was kind of concerned about having to get used to the keyboard and landscape since I do so much typing that way. And that still is a concern, and I'm still working on that. I'm still making far more errors than I used to in the few hours I've played with it.
You will make less in time, trust me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will be better if I just give it some practice. But the bottom line of it is that, no, it was still enough. It's just that there was no, you know, basically the way that I looked at it was, I have now saved myself from having to, I bought myself another 2 years for free versus buying myself another 2 years for prices starting at $199.
So this is what I'm trying, this is what I was going to ask. So the iPhone 5S or the iPhone 6 comes out in a couple of months' time.
Yeah.
How much would it have cost you to upgrade?
Oh, to that? It would have been $199 or $299 or whatever that, you know, the low price of the new ones that come out is.
And
which I think is $199.
And like you can't go into like an AT&T store and have them buy your iPhone from you at that point.
No.
So strange.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way in America, spelled with a K.
Because I will most likely be still getting a free iPhone next time again.
Because in your free and democratic country, you can trade in your phone for credit, and they happily take it and exchange you another one. Like this Best Buy thing, this is a special thing that they're only doing until June 29th. They're only doing it for a week, and then it's done. They hardly ever do this unless they need to clear out a lot of inventory.
It's just like because, and then because all of the prices are subsidized on the contract, but they're subsidized a lot greater than you guys have them subsidized. Like you can get, like if you want to pay enough, you can get a free iPhone just straight out of the bag, like on day one.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do that here unless it's like the older model. You know how Apple always has one that's free that's usually like right now, the I believe the 4S is the – or no, the 4. They still sell the 4 or, you know, put the 4 out there and make it available as their free with contract model.
So like regardless of how much you spend a month?
Regardless, yeah.
See, obviously the way it works here, which I think makes – logical sense, is the more you spend a month on your plan, so the more that you need on your plan, the less the phone costs you.
Wow. Yeah. That would be nice.
So the phone is just subsidized by the plan. And also if you take a longer term, so you could pay the same amount of money but take it on a longer term, then you
and
also
same thing. You get a discount on further discount on the phone, right? Yeah.
So I just haven't decided yet. My iPhone 5 is off contract, so I paid for dinners for it. Because if anybody has a memory of such things or could care when I did it.
I do.
I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing network-wise because we were about to get our first 4G network here. So I decided to buy off contract and wait out to see what was going to happen. So I haven't decided what I'm going to do. So I can just go and sign up for a new contract, or I can upgrade to either for a free iPhone on both, or I can see what the prices will be. Although it's typically around £500 or £600, and buy the next iPhone off contract. I haven't decided what I want to do yet, because it's too early to think about these things.
I want to make clear, you know, that the prices are subsidized here.
Yeah, well, they have to be, yeah.
They're subsidized. Just not subsidized in the same way.
It's just not tiered.
Like, it's not tiered, yeah. No.
Like, you have a flat subsidization where we have wildly differing ones. So sometimes we'll get a worse deal, but most of the time we get a better deal.
Yeah.
Because they're competing with each other on the subsidies, you see. In the States as well, it seems like the subsidy is set, which is probably price fixing by the carriers, but it seems to be set at like $200, right? It's just 16 gig, and that's across all of the different carriers. But here, there are no set prices. So even paying the same sort of monthly fee or paying the same device fee doesn't equate to either or. So on O2 could be charging you £30 a month and you pay £200 for the phone, but then like Vodafone could charge you £20 a month and you pay £200 for the phone, or you know, or any sort of differing amount. So it could be like I pay £30 a month and I pay nothing for the phone, like it's you know.
Well, and you know, maybe what the trick is here, and you know, I think one of the lessons that I've learned through this is that because I remember that, you know, some of the big box retailers, I can't remember if Best Buy was one of them, but some of the big box retailers did this last time right before the 5 was released. They did this with the 4S's. They had a, you know, special promotions and things like that that kind of spun up about a couple of months before the 5 came out. And, you know, perhaps the lesson is that maybe unless you absolutely have to go out and buy the, you know, newest, fastest, bestest thing, that it's okay to buy last year's model. You know, it's okay to buy the model that may not be as good as what's coming, but is better than what you have if it's going to save you money and allow you to, you know, and is going to be enough for you, right? If there's no, like, I can't imagine what they would put. It'd be just looking historically at the difference, say, between, you know, the 4 and the 4S and the 5 and the 5S You know what I mean? The upgrades have not been, you know, as significant between the number and number S models, right? The real upgrades, you know, with a complete redesign and thinner and lighter and significant changes and significant features, generally come, say, you know, 5S to 6, you know, or 6S to 7. Does that make sense? And so essentially what I have done is positioned myself so that when, you know, when the 6 does come, at that point, I should be not too long after upgrade eligible, number one. But number two, I should be able to get, you know, should be able to get into that model for free come this time 2 years from now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? Is that, you know, because I'm okay with using a model that everyone else has had in their hand for a year, I'm basically saving myself, keeping myself from having to spend $200. Or in the case, you know, if you're buying for a family, you know, if it's like both you and your wife, you and your spouse, you and your kids, whatever, $400, $600, you do the math. But if you can figure out a way to get into that, and if last year's model is enough for you, why not? Why do you have to have the latest and greatest? Why not save the money and put it towards something that really matters? You know, my wife is using a 4-year-old MacBook. Now, you know, it was time to buy her a new MacBook. We'll probably get her one of the new MacBook Airs, you know. Before, you know, we were looking at our, you know, at our business cash flow and thinking, well, you know, I don't know how we're going to do that. Well, here's one way. We've just saved ourselves $400 that both of us likely would have spent when the new iPhones came out. Now we don't have to spend that. We can put that savings towards a MacBook Air for you.
Yeah. Now you don't have to save that, and you have an old iPhone. So,
well, you know, for the next 2 months until now, it's it's not a 5S. You know, it doesn't have ludicrous speed on it. You know, that was a Spaceballs reference, by the way, for anyone who's playing along. You can link to Spaceballs in IMDb. Great film if you've never watched it. It's a send-up of Star Wars done by Mel Brooks. Fantastic. In any case.
What was that? Sorry, what was that called?
Spaceballs.
Oh,
you've never seen Spaceballs?
No. I missed you.
Oh, my gosh. With Rick Moranis and Harvey Korman. Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. Spaceballs. So goes with a lot of things, right? You know, as I've, you know, said to my clients, I always urge them to buy refurb, when it comes to Macs, you know, laptops and desktops and stuff like that. And even iPads. My wife has bought a few refurb iPads, for clients who really just needed one to use for Square. I mean, literally that's what they use it for. Right. And so, you know, makes perfect sense. A 16 gig refurb iPad. If you're just going to use it for Square, why not? Or an iPod Touch, but she went with the iPad because, well, you know, old people. It's one of those sorts of things where if you can get away with buying used or using last year's model, getting last year's model for a cheaper price, what have you, that can easily be enough for you. And satisfy most of your needs. I think far too often, you know, not only do we chase the new and shiny, but, you know, they try to tell us that the new and shiny is better. And it often is. It's better, faster, quicker, whatever. But none of those things matter if the better, faster, quicker really doesn't matter to you. Or if you never use it, right? You know, like the new MacBook Airs with the all-day battery life, that's great. That's terrific. But I know tons of people that if they're at their desk 90% of the time with their laptop plugged in, and it doesn't matter if it has all day battery life, right? They'll never use the all day battery life. They don't even use the 5 hours of battery life that it's got now, or 10 or whatever it is. You know what I mean? They don't use it now. So why would that matter to them? You know, whereas I just got off the phone with a client who rarely takes international flights. And when I told her about the new MacBook Airs and that, you know, she really should think about upgrading to one, she should get one of the brand new ones, not a refurb, one of the brand new ones, because of the all-day battery life. And she could literally, you know, get on a plane and fly to China and not, you know, and still have battery life left when she got to the hotel. And she was ready to run out to the Apple store right now. You know, because that matters to her. Yeah. It matters to what she does, right? And so all of these features and, you know, all this newness, really evaluate how much of a difference it makes and how much it matters to you, and decide, is what I have okay? Or better, if what I have isn't okay, if I can get into a new thing, does it have to be brand new? Can it be the thing before? So that's my enough takeaway lesson for today. What was that?
It was a Lego piece.
Oh my gosh, you're sitting there playing with Legos.
No, I'm giving, I have a heartfelt
talk about, you know, okay, our modern world.
To say it's a Lego piece is incorrect. So new Lego sets these days, the complicated ones, come with a thing called the Lego separator tool. It's called the brick separator, which I'll put a link in the show notes to one, so you know what I'm talking about. And it's just something that I have on my desk, and I pick it up and sort of just like play with it while I'm recording quite a lot to keep my hands busy. You know,
I don't understand this Lego thing. I mean, seriously, this is like one of these things that just has, I mean, I played with them as a kid and, you know, I liked them and all this stuff, but this whole like adult Lego thing, maybe it's the fact that like I don't see kind of the point of buying this thing that you build and then you're like, okay, it sits there and then you're done and it's like, okay, all right, what now? And it just takes up space. No, it doesn't make any sense to me. But that's okay. I understand. It keeps you kids busy.
It does.
You know, Mr. Mankey's way into these things now.
Yeah, he's gone off the deep end.
He's gone way off the deep end. It's like, dude, I've been to your house. Where do you have the space for all this crap? Sorry.
Has Aaron got a small house? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not necessarily small, but it's not like, you know, it's not, you know, 1,000-piece Millennium Falcon model size either. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's just, like I said, for me, for, you know, mystery enough, if I'm going to hang that label around my neck, I look at that and I question its purpose. I understand it's fun, but to me, once the fun has been had, maybe you sell it. Maybe you pass it on. I mean, you take it apart brick by brick with the, what did you call it, the brick separator tool? Maybe you take the whole thing apart, you put it back neatly into its box, and then you sell it to somebody else. Or give it to somebody else who otherwise couldn't afford a Lego set but would also enjoy building such a thing. Why is there any other reason to keep this once the fun's been had?
I guess not. There's like a Netflix for Lego now.
What?
So you pay an amount of money every month and they send you sets, so you can do that.
Oh. Well, see, there's a brilliant idea. There, right there. That tip, put a link to that in the show notes, Mike, because that alone just saved tons of geeks a lot of money and a lot of space.
It's called Playgo, PLEYGO.
Yep, that's what you need. That right there. You should never have to buy another Lego set again.
I would be a subscriber.
Let me guess. Only in the U.S.
Of course it is.
Of course. Of course. You need to start up one of these things over there, my friend.
I haven't got time for that.
Oh, come on. You don't have to worry about the podcast network anymore. That's someone else's responsibility now, isn't it?
Need to record the shows and work a job.
Oh, I suppose. Well, quit the job and there's your new job. All right. Well, we'll let it go for now.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
No, no problem. No problem.
As always, feedback, always welcome. 70 decibels/contact still until we move one day.
This will probably be the last show, you know.
I understand that.
There's 208 episodes.
Blah, 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 blah. And Dan doesn't really want me anyway, is part of it.
Yeah, that's the real reason.
So, you know.
Well, actually, he wants you the most. I'm just making him wait.
Oh. Oh my gosh, aren't you diplomatic?
You're my last bargaining chip.
There's a job at WikiLeaks for you, my friend. All right.
People tell me I look like Edward Snowden.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, but no. Yes. Who's going to play Snowden in the movie? Because you know that this is a movie.
Me, I'm going to do it.
Oh, this reads like a movie. No, seriously. What do you think? Like, Jake Gyllenhaal or whatever his name is?
Yeah. Maybe. Michael Cera. I don't
know. No, he's too...
I know.
Mousy.
Yeah, but yeah. Snowden's quite a mousy character.
Yeah, but he's got more of a...
Sneaky like a mouse.
Yeah, he's got more of a kind of angular sort of... I don't know. He's got kind of this... I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see who gets cast as Snowden.
In the inevitable movie.
In the inevitable movie.
Yeah. It's a cast of... It's a who, not an if.
Yeah. David Bowie is Julian Assange.
Ooh.
All right. You can send your hate mail to patrick@patrickrone.com. Patrick Rone on Twitter and the app.net. Mike at the app.net, the Twitter, and he doesn't like email, so don't send him any.
Don't send me any email. Thank you.
No. And outside of that, we'll chat later.
Cheers.
Cheers.